A lot of people are not going to like the things that I'm about to share with you. But before we get into this, I would like to remind you that the things that I'm sharing with you are backed up by the living Word of God. I'm going to read to you things directly out of the Bible so that you would be without excuse. So before you get mad and assume all these things that you think I'm trying to say, if you're not going to listen to the entire message, don't go run into the comments to spew hate, negativity, and discord and exemplify the fruits of something that's not of God. Pray for discernment. Ask the Lord to reveal to you the things that you need to see, to give you eyes to see and ears to hear. Now, with that being said, I've had a lot of people that have reached out to me to ask me my thoughts on Christmas and this holiday that everybody celebrates that's supposed to be about the birth of Jesus Christ. And a while back, I did a podcast on the demonic origins of Halloween and the Christians who celebrate it. If you haven't yet seen that podcast, I strongly recommend you go back and find it and watch it and pray for discernment, because there's a lot of things with these known holidays, these seasons that people celebrate in America, that you need to have discernment on, because the devil is always in the details. Now, when I began to look at Christmas and what was on the tree, right? Jesus said, "You shall know them by their fruits." You're not going to have a hard time if you have spiritual eyes discerning what this holiday season has to offer. And I began to research the word Christmas. And it's literally derived from two words, Christ Mass. And if you research what a Mass is, in the Roman Catholic Church, it is a death ritual. It's a celebration of death, or a death rite, as if it were a funeral. So you have the word Christ and you put it with Mass. So from what I gather, and there's a lot of different things online that are going to tell you many different things. But if you look at the origin of the lineage of where Jesus came from, the very people that crucified him, the Roman Catholic Church, and these are the people that have Jesus hanging on a cross with blood running out of his body, and they exalt that in their churches. They wear crucifixes with Jesus's dead body depicted on this cross, even though the angel said, "Jesus is not here, for he is risen." He's no longer on that cross. But the very people that did this, they utilized this word Christ Mass. So in essence, when you say Merry Christmas, you can literally translate that to Merry Christ death. Now, that's a little bit disturbing to me. And listen, I'm not trying to say that if you say this, that you suddenly have some kind of evil intention. I get it. But the reason that I'm making this message to bring you the truth is because God said, "My people perish for a lack of knowledge." And just like Paul said, "What then? Am I now become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" If you don't want to hear the truth, turn this off and go bury your head in the sand and gobble up all the devil's nonsense. That doesn't matter to me. But I have an obligation as a man of God to tell you the truth about these things. Now, we look at the word Christmas or Christ Mass, and we can see that that's kind of disturbing that they would have us running around saying Merry Christ death in a sense. But when you go deeper into the fruit that's on the literal tree of this holiday, what do people do? They bring a tree into the house, whether it be a real tree or an artificial tree, and they put it up in the house. They adorn it with silver and gold and ribbons and wreaths, and they put a star, traditionally a five-pointed star, right at the top of this tree, which is an interesting symbol because that's a pentagram, which is a symbolic of the Baphomet or Lucifer himself. But when you go back into what the Bible says in Jeremiah, right? In Jeremiah chapter 10, the Bible says, starting in verse 2, "Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven. For the heathen are dismayed at them, for the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be borne because they cannot go." That means they need to be carried because they can't walk. It's an idol that can't move. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. So what does this Bible tell us here? What does this the prophet Jeremiah say to us? The Lord spoke to us and said, do not learn the way of the heathen. When the Bible talks about a heathen, it's talking about a pagan. It's talking about somebody who worships false gods. He's telling you, don't learn the way of the heathen and cut down a tree, bring it into your house and deck it with silver and gold. Now, there's a lot of people that are willing to die on that hill. They will come to you and say, well, you know what? My intentions ain't evil for putting up a tree in my house. We do it because we celebrate the Lord Jesus. Let me tell you something. The Bible tells you not to commit murder. Do you run out and do that? The Bible tells you in the Ten Commandments that you shall have no other gods before him. Do you run out and do that? Just like Paul said, he said, let all who read these words understand that these are the commandments of the Lord. This entire book is written from God, right? We know that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is good for teaching, instruction, and reproof so that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto good works. You're going to be able to be edified by this word. And Jesus said, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Let me say that again. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, I'm not here to rain on your Christmas parade. I'm here to tell you that the Bible says that you shouldn't be doing as the pagans do and cutting a tree down and bring it into your house and deck it with silver and gold. But what do people do? They say, let's get into the Christmas spirit. We need to get into the Christmas spirit and decorate our house and put up our tree. And while they're adorning and decking their tree with silver and gold, they're even singing the song, silver and gold, silver and gold. They're singing these songs. And what's happening when you're decorating that tree? What are you glorifying? When you put a star at the peak of this tree, when you adorn this thing with all these things and you light it up, you illuminate it in your house, what's glorified? Are you glorifying this tree? Because you can go back and look in the Roman traditions with Saturnalia, where they worshiped their sun god Saturn. They chose a tree out of the forest, which was the evergreen tree. They believed because it didn't turn brown in the winter and the leaves didn't fall off of it like the rest of the trees, that it was a symbol of eternal life. And they worshiped this sun god Saturn that sounds a whole lot like Satan, right? There's a lot of different names for these deities and these demons that people have worshiped throughout history, but there's only one God and there's only one devil. So I'll give you a few guesses on who that is that they're worshiping, but they would bring this tree in and they would adorn it with all of these decorations, put the star of their God at the top of this tree, and they would bring gifts and put around the tree. And most of these gifts were sacrifices. That Google's not going to tell you a lot of this because it starts to step on the toes of what the devil really did. But if you look close enough, you can see that the devil is in the details. If you do enough research, you can go back to where they would have the Easter festival or Ishtar, where they worshiped the fertility goddess Ishtar or Isis. They would have sex rituals. They would have these big piles that they would get in, and it would be at the time that we normally celebrate what's known as Easter, which is supposed to be for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But for some reason, all of these church people have their children going out and participating in a pagan fertility ritual by having their children pick up eggs that was supposedly laid by a bunny. And there's a lot of different religions that we've talked about that have a rabbit that is a sign of fertility. Wonder why that is. Rabbits are pretty good at reproducing, so we don't have to go too far into that rabbit hole. But these people that practiced this ritual, this fertility ritual, where the men and women got together and it was like a big old pileup. What happened 9 months later? They had all these babies where they got pregnant at this ritual. What did they do? They offered them up. They brought the gifts to their sun god. They sacrificed these children. A lot of people don't want to hear this, but I'm telling you that that's where these things stem from. A lot of people like to say, well, the Old Testament really don't apply to me anymore. Do you know that Jesus said, I came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it? So therefore not one jot nor tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all these things be fulfilled. You better live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You obey the Ten Commandments. Why would you choose not to obey the one where God said, don't be like the Satan worshiper, and bring a tree in and deck it with silver and gold? But when you go back and look at what they say about getting into the Christmas spirit, why would you be trying to get into a spirit other than the Holy Spirit and allowing it to dwell in you? I want to read to you here in chapter 4 of Ephesians, starting in verse 4. It says, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. There's only one spirit that you should be exalting all the days of your life, and that is the Holy Spirit. But we have a deceptive spirit here, because whenever you get into this Christmas spirit and you start to do these vain traditions, these customs of men that tie back to paganism, you're literally giving heed to a seducing spirit and a doctrine of devils. Now, I want to tell you something really clear, because I'm sure at this point there's some people that's sitting in their living room looking over at their Christmas tree thinking, well, this guy's out of his mind. I'm not trying to tell you that if you put up a Christmas tree that you're evil. I'm not trying to tell you that if you bring gifts and put them under your tree and deck it with silver and gold that you're evil. But what I will say is that your Bible tells you that you should not be doing these things, because these things tie back to people who worship the devil. Now, as I dug deeper into this and I began to look into the time frame, right, the time of year that this Christmas holiday, this Christ Mass holiday is being pushed by the masses, right, the devil's very deceiving. He's got people ready to fight over whether or not they should say Christmas or Xmas, because they just want to say the word Christ, like somebody's trying to keep you from saying the name of Jesus. But what you don't even realize is that you're saying Christ Mass. We've talked about that. Do your own research. But something else I noticed was that it's on the winter solstice. Now, this Saturnalia festival that these people worshiped their god, the sun god, Saturn or Satan, it was on December 25th, which was the winter solstice. It was the darkest, coldest time of the year, and they worshiped this sun god to bring back the warm season and all these things. I understand that they're worshiping something other than God, and that's enough for me. If you want to know more about that, by all means, go do your research. But we know that these things are satanic. That's where these customs that are vain come from. But I went into the Bible and I said, you know, I need to find out, why would they lie to us about that? Why would they want us celebrating the what's supposed to be the birth of Jesus on the very same day that they worshiped the devil and did all of these pagan traditions? And not only are they doing this on the same day, they have all the people doing the same rituals that have nothing to do with Jesus Christ. What's glorified when you deck that tree with silver and gold and light it up and put lights on your house and you're putting reindeer and Santa Claus, and oh my goodness, are we about to get into that? But the next thing here is I went to the book of Luke and I began to ask the Lord to show to me things that I need to see, to bless me with discernment, to see why they are doing this. So if you look in the book of Luke, chapter 2, starting in verse 8, I want to read that for you. It says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Abiding means they lived in the field with the sheep. They were watching them. In verse 9, it says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Okay, so when you look at the time frame of when everybody practices this holiday, this holy day that these pagans called it, right? All of them, like Halloween and Easter, Ishtar, Christmas, Christmas, they call them holidays or holy days. That's where that word originates from. But when you look at what it says here, when the shepherds were abiding in the field, they were living in the field watching over their flocks, I did some research on that and I went back and looked, why would these shepherds be living in the field with their sheep? Because it was in the springtime or the late winter season, February, March, and April. That's because that is when the gestation period of the lamb, when they have offspring, it's always around that early springtime. So they were in the field watching for the firstborn of the lamb. And how crazy is that? It's a beautiful thing that not only were the shepherds in the fields looking for the firstborn of the lamb, it gives me goosebumps. The angel of the Lord appeared to them and he said, "You're about to witness the birth of the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the earth." What does that look like? That tells me that Jesus Christ, as the Bible says, was born in that spring season, which goes back to beg the question, why do we have a day on April 1st called April Fools? April Fools, gotcha. You're celebrating the birth of your risen Savior. When the Bible tells me that the date of a man's death is better than that of his birth, the victory wasn't in Jesus' birth. The victory was in his death on the cross. But the devil has the world celebrating the day of Jesus' birth on the same day that these Satanists worshiped their god, Saturn or Satan, and they sacrificed children on the winter solstice and the very season that Jesus was born in, as the Bible says, when the shepherds were in the fields looking for the firstborn of the lamb, we got a day called April Fools. And every other day that we have as followers of Jesus that we're supposed to celebrate the resurrection or the birth of Jesus, why is it they all fall on the same day as these pagan festivals and we still use the name? Easter is the name of a demon. Easter is a pagan fertility goddess, Ishtar. They have children participating in fertility rituals. And here's where we're going to get into it. On Christmas, you say that you celebrate the birth of Jesus while you lie to your children and tell them it's about a man named Santa Claus. And if they will obey him and be good for him, he will bring them material possessions and all that their heart desires in this world. So I looked at that and I thought, why is that such a thing? Why is it that you see this guy with a beard and a red suit all over this Christmas, Christmas holiday? So I did some research on that. And you can't make it up at this point. You literally can't make it up. The name Santa literally has the same letters as the name Satan, S-A-N-T-A, S-A-T-A-N. All you have to do is move the N to the end of the name, and it literally spells Satan. But the second part of the name is Klaus or Claus, which is extremely interesting because if you Google or research the Klaus demon, you'll find all of these pagan demonic entities known as Krampus. And that's what a lot of these people celebrate around this time on the winter solstice. They celebrate this demonic festival and they exalt this demon known as Krampus. And it is a goat-headed demon with a long white beard. And there's all these folklore tales about it that says that he punishes children that are naughty. What do these kids sing about? He knows when you are sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been good or bad. So be good for goodness sake. You better watch out. You better not pout. You better not cry. I'm telling you why Satan Klaus is coming to town. You want to tell me that you're exalting the name of Jesus Christ on the day of the winter solstice, on the day of the Saturnalia Fest when Satan is worshipped, and you're telling your children that they need to obey Santa Claus or Satan Klaus and be good for goodness sake? He knows when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. And I will never in my life forget when I was growing up, I used to see these these card commercials where people were advertising these Christmas cards, and there were little kids at the foot of their bed with their hands crossed, folded in prayer, and they were saying, "Dear Santa, I've been good this year. Please bring me all these things." What are we talking about? You going to die on that sword of saying that you're going to keep your Christmas tree and you're going to keep telling your kids about Santa, and you got elves on your shelves? Do you know that these elves are demonic? These are imps of Satan with pointy little ears, and everybody just thinks that this is some kind of fun thing, and the devil is laughing at you. He's laughing at you because you go throughout your year and you exalt the name of Jesus and you go to church, and then when it comes Christmas time and you give heed to this seducing spirit, this Christmas spirit. That scripture I read to you in Ephesians doesn't say there's the Holy Spirit and the Christmas spirit. It says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one Spirit, and one God and Father of all. But you tell yourself you're going to get into this Christmas spirit, and you start bringing these things into your home and involving your children in it. Why is it that you think that the devil wants to involve children in all of these things? Because he's harvesting the energy of the innocence of the children. That's what's happening. That's what's always been going on. When you see the contrast between Krampus and Santa Claus or Satan Claus, and the difference in the two, they both say, if you're naughty, you're going to be punished. You're going to get a bag of coal or whatever they say. But you got a guy that's replacing Jesus Christ in a child's life on a holiday or a holy day that you say that you exalt Jesus, and he's promising them that if they'll just obey him, he'll give them all the things of this world they desire. That kind of sounds like what Satan told Jesus when he approached him in the desert after he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He said, "Jesus, if you'll just bow down to me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth because they're mine to give." Does that not sound like what people are telling their children? This guy that's replacing Jesus on this holiday that you're lying to your children about and involving your children in this ritual and letting them put the star on top of the tree and piling gifts under this pagan symbol, that the Bible says that you shouldn't be doing these things. Jeremiah the prophet said you shouldn't be doing these things. The Lord spoke through him and said, don't do this. Don't learn the way of the pagan, the devil worshiper. You're doing all these things, and they have a man that's depicted as this guy that brings all of this cheer and joy and ho, 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 and all this nonsense. And they got him flying around in a chariot with reindeer. What's the Bible say that Satan is? He's the prince of the power of the air. And they've got Satan Claus or Santa Claus flying around in the air running on magic, right? The energy of the children. What do they tell them? They say, well, if you don't have Christmas cheer, if kids, if you don't get into the Christmas spirit, Santa's sleigh won't fly. So what does that mean? He has to harvest that energy, get people into that spirit so that you will exalt something above God, because that's what he wants to do. The Bible says, for no marvel, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He desires to be God. He wants to know your thoughts. He wants to know your dreams. He wants to know everything about you. He wants to be omnipotent. He wants to be God. So why do you think they sing that song and come into agreement with, he knows when you are sleeping and he knows when you're awake and he knows if you've been good or bad? He's declaring himself to be God in your life. And listen, guys, again, I'm not telling you that your kids are evil or that you have evil intention. I understand where you're at in your life with these things, because I did this as a child too. We put up a Christmas tree. We did these things. I never knew the Bible said these things. That's why God said, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they're sent? We have so many so-called men of God that lead these churches that are afraid to touch on these things and tell you that you're literally taking part in demonic rituals and allowing demons into your home in the name of something biblical that's not even accurate. You're practicing things that are not of God, and people don't want to tell you because you get so mad because you've given heed to this seducing spirit. And when you involve children in these things, you have to look at the fruit that's on the tree. You've got Santa Claus, right? Satan Claus. Do your research on this. You've got your elves on the shelf and these little imps that are demonic, these miniature things with pointy ears. What do you think these are depictions of? You thought the Labubu was evil, this little doll that these kids was bringing in the house? You're blind to the fact that elves are, they're Satan's elves. They're Santa's elves. They're imps of the devil. But what about all of these other folklore and stories that all involve magic? Frosty the Snowman, right? There must have been some magic in that old black hat they found. What do you see in witchcraft with the hats that they wear? It's magic. It's symmetrically shaped so that they can harness energy and channel spirits, demons from the other side of the flood. Why do you think these people worshiped these deities on these certain times? Do you know that the Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy that you should not be an observer of times? Do not let your children be involved in this witchcraft. So I want to read to you here in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 18, starting in verse 9, going through 12. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. Right? That's a pagan ritual. Don't take your children and sacrifice them to idols. Pass them through the fire. Burn them on an altar. Or that useth divination, right? That's fortune telling, like tarot cards and palm readings and Ouija boards. Or an observer of times. That means that you go and you observe the times of the pagans and you celebrate these satanic rituals, these traditions of men that are vain, the customs of men. Or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. Listen, guys, it's not rocket science. It's not that nobody wants you to have fun in a certain time of year. I'm here to tell you that if you want to glorify Jesus Christ on December 25th, get together with your family and prepare a meal and give glory, honor, and praise to the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, whether you eat or you drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You can glorify Jesus during that season, but he's telling you, don't be an observer of that time. Don't go into these pagan customs of the people that are vain, because you're literally performing abominations. You're involving your children in magic and witchcraft and all of these things that the devil is harvesting that spiritual energy. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not happening. You need to wake up and understand that you have a guide, and it's called the living word of God. And if you don't obey this word, you're going to be held to account for the things that you brought forth on this earth. Am I saying that you're going to go to hell for having a Christmas tree? No. Am I judging you for taking part and being a part of this Christmas spirit? No. All I'm simply doing is sharing with you the things that the Bible says that are for your life. If you want to be perfect with the Lord your God, as it says here in Deuteronomy, don't take part in these things. When you look at the shapes and the geometry and the witchcraft that's involved in these things. We talked about the hat that the snowman has that's magic, and it's Frosty the Snowman. It made him come to life, right? It's almost like a demon gave life to the snowman and he began to dance around. Then you got a magic wand and all of these things. But then you look at the shape of the witch's hat. It goes up to a point. It's literally like a triangle. And then you've got a star at the top of the Christmas tree that's also shaped in that symmetrical shape. And what kind of hat does Santa Claus wear? It flops over, but if you stand it up, it looks like a wizard's hat. That's what the wizards wear. The hat flops over. It's the same thing. Why do they wear these things? Why is this stuff all tied back? Why does he have the white gloves that has the three stitch lines just like the Freemasons wear, just like Mickey Mouse wears, right? In the magical kingdom of Disney. Do you think that all of this stuff is a coincidence? Do you think that I'm telling you these things just because I want to get you riled up and get you mad because I don't want you to have a Christmas tree? I'm trying to tell you these things so that you might not walk in these abominations that the Bible says are evil. You're bringing evil into your house. You're bringing witchcraft into your house. You're dancing around singing songs about how you're coming into the Christmas spirit when the Bible says there's only one spirit. There's only one Lord. There's only one faith. There's only one baptism. And there's literally Bible scriptures that tell you that if you do these things, they're abominations. If you want to be mad at somebody, don't be mad at me. You can go out here and cuss me and cut me down and call me crazy. Go be mad at God. He wrote these things. Like Jesus said, it is written. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. If the word says don't do it, don't do it. Like I said in the beginning of this, if the Bible tells you don't go commit murder, you don't do that. If it says don't go commit adultery, you don't do that. But when it says that you shouldn't be putting up this tree and giving heed to this seducing spirit, you get mad. Well, I'll serve the Lord, but I'm not taking down my Christmas tree. I don't have evil intentions in that. Listen, when you go back and watch this podcast I made about Halloween, I'm not accusing kids and parents of being evil. The Lord might look at them and say that they might be a little bit ignorant to what His Word says about these things, but I'm not condemning you if you take part in this. I get it. I had to struggle with this. I looked at this as like, man, I'm used to coming into this. I'm used to getting into this Christmas spirit every year. I'm like, it's a nostalgic time of year. You remember it from the time you got up, you went downstairs, you ran to the tree. You hope Santa brought you what you wanted. Listen, guys, you want to exalt Jesus Christ? Why lie to your children? Why tell them something that's false, that's pagan in nature and demonic? Why tell them about Satan, Klaus, right? A demon. Why bring these imps and these elves and this demonic nonsense into your home? If you want to celebrate the Lord Jesus in this time of year, why don't you just tell your children that if they will praise, honor, worship, and give glory to the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior of the world, that they will be blessed abundantly? You can give your children gifts. You can give them things that blesses them and makes them excited. But what are they more excited about? What's more exalted in this season? Is it Jesus? Or is it Santa Claus? Is it the Holy Spirit? Or is it that tree that they light, the nation's Christmas tree with this big star, this giant pagan ritual that takes place that everybody gathers around? Everybody gathers around for this massive Christmas tree, and we have the Macy's Day Christmas Parade, and all of these things are paraded. What's exalted in those moments? Because make no mistake, whatever you exalt above the name of Jesus, that is your God. I don't care what you say. If you exalt anything above the name of Jesus Christ, that's your God. You don't think I'm telling you the truth? Your God is your God. He is who you worship. You live, breathe, eat, sleep, the name of Jesus Christ. He said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." What are you doing when you spend a whole season chanting about how you're going to get into this other spirit and you're going to do these things that are in contrast to the Word of God? You're going to celebrate the birth of your Lord and Savior on the same day that these people celebrate their God, which is Satan himself, and you're even going to dabble in their traditions. You're going to do, even though the Bible, hey, that Old Testament, man, it's old, right? It's old, it's outdated, man. We're in a new time. These old head Christians, man, they're all tied up in that old. This is progressive, man. We're moving on from that. Do you realize what you're doing when you do that? You're casting off the Word of God. You're saying, I will just do as I will. I ain't got to worry about that book. I ain't got to worry about them things. I'm just going to do what the Lord knows my heart. He knows that I'm not evil. I just want my kids. It's just for the kids. He ain't gonna hold me accountable if I go involve them in pagan rituals and all these traditions. Guys, I'm telling you this to give you a word of caution. If you wonder why the devil has place in your life, Satan is very deceiving. He's very intelligent. And for no marvel, he's transformed into an angel of light to a place where people feel good about coming into agreement with that spirit. Again, I want to tell you, I'm not trying to accuse you of evil. I had to work these things out for myself. I'm not trying to bring condemnation on you or your family or your children. There's a lot of people who's going to watch this while they're sitting next to their Christmas tree. Hey, I have an obligation, right? The Holy Spirit of the living God came to me after I was called to a 7-day fast. And I said, Lord, I need direction. And this podcast is what came out of it. And I was given a word of warning. It's where the name of this podcast came from. I struggled. I said, what am I going to call this? I said, I need to glorify God in this. He said, you got to call it the Tyler Wood Encounter, because you are going to be given the torch for the truth without compromise. And once you've been handed this torch, you better walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called. You better die daily to your flesh, because you cannot walk in compromise. So I literally have to struggle against my flesh, against this sin. I have to resist the devil so that he will flee from me. I spiritually battle my flesh. I aggressively deal with my sin, because I know that it's not a small thing for the living God to come to you and say, I'm going to give you the torch for the truth without compromise. That's what the name of it is. It's the Tyler Wood Encounter, and it's the truth without compromise. I don't have a choice but to sit here and tell you these things right here at a time when people are confused. There's a lot of spiritual things going on. There's a lot of things happening that people don't understand, a lot of signs that Jesus said was going to happen before he returns. I'm not here to make you have a bad day. I'm here because I love you and I care about you. And I want you to know the truth in God's word. And if we're called to be fishers of men, to stand in righteousness, to walk boldly in our faith, you might not like to hear these things, but how much better is it going to be when you stand before God and you say, even though I didn't like what I heard, I walked in obedience to your will. And you hear those words that you've longed to hear for your entire lives. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things, so I will make you ruler over many. The Bible tells me that God said, come out from among them and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. Don't be over here with one foot in heaven and one foot in the world and thinking somehow you're going to be able to live lukewarm and still serve me. The Bible says you cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of devils. You cannot partake of the Lord's cup and the cup of demons. You can't serve two masters. I get it. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. If you are called to be separate, that means that you should separate yourself from these things. God doesn't want you walking around like some kind of stick in the mud. He understands that there are certain things that bring you joy and happiness. But the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 say, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways. And he will guide your paths. He will direct your paths. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. Before you walk blindly into these things, just pray about it and say, Lord, put conviction on my heart if this is not of you. If you don't want me to have this tree in my house because of what your word says, I pray that you would show me what I should do in this moment. I know what I felt. I felt conviction. I said, hey, we can't do this no more. We can't be taking part in this. I don't feel right about it. I feel like that the Bible says that people that worship the devil did this, and I read it, and I said, there's no way that I can justify continuing to have this in my house. I've got to get rid of it. So I'm sharing this with you today that you might be edified, that you might be built up and stronger in it. You know, I heard a wise woman say something one day, and it made a lot of sense. She said, it's only hard the first year. After that, it's easy. And I saw that happen. The first year, we didn't have a Christmas tree. And I was kind of bummed out. I was like, dang, I've been doing this every year my whole life. But you know what? Glory to the name of Jesus. Because I want to walk in obedience to his word. Hey, we still had a family dinner. We still gave glory, honor, and praise to the name of Jesus. I still bought my daughter some stuff and gave her some gifts and told her that Jesus loves her and that she should give thanks, honor, glory, and praise to him that she's able to have these things. But I didn't walk back into those customs of the people, the pagans, the rituals, the traditions, and I have been set free from that yoke of bondage, from that deceiving spirit, from that seducing spirit that I used to come into agreement with. I no longer do that, and I'm blessed because of it. And I'm here to tell you tonight that if you give God an opportunity to give you those eyes to see and harden not your heart and come to him with open eyes, an open heart, and open ears, and let him show you the way, he will guide you into all truth, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Guys, I would ask that you would take some time to pray on these things, study on these things, ask the Lord to show you the truth. You don't have to take my word for it. I'm not here to bash you over the head and call you evil. I did these things, but I'm obligated in this position as a man who carries the torch for the truth without compromise to be level-headed with you and just say, look, I love you, and I want you to be walking in the spirit of truth, to worship in the spirit and in truth. In the name of Jesus Christ. And if you don't know these things, they can be the very things that can give place to the devil in your life. Read your Bible. Pray for discernment. Get understanding. The Bible says knowledge is the principal thing, but in all you're getting, get understanding. I want to take a minute to pray for you for discernment. I want to pray a prayer of discernment that God would give you eyes to see and ears to hear. If you haven't yet had a chance, I ask that you would go check out our website. It's the Tyler Wood Encounter. It's www.tylerwoodencounter.com. We've got some exciting things we're going to be announcing there soon. We have these t-shirts available on there. I'm not just trying to sell you a bunch of stuff, but it does help what we do here at the Tyler Wood Encounter. These are very good quality shirts. I say it every time, but I have to tell people that are new to the channel. We're gaining new subscribers every day. A special thank you from my heart to everybody out there that's taken part in this website, that's been subscribed to this channel, that watches this podcast, that shares it, that prays for me. The guys in the comments and the girls in the comments that are praying for each other. I love it. Thank you so much. But if you get a chance, go check out the website. We have several different designs of these t-shirts. They're 100% cotton shirts. They're the best quality I could find. They're next level shirts. They're going to help you to walk in boldness, right? You got your banner up. This one says Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. It has a scripture on the back that says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. All these shirts have the word of God written on them so that you could go out and be bold in your faith and show others and be a witness and stand firm and say, hey, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the cross of Christ. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish, but to us who believe, it is the power of God. To us who are saved, it is salvation. We need to be out there being witnesses in this hour. So right now, I want to go to prayer for you in the name of Jesus. Father, I come to you right now in the name of Jesus to pray for every heart, mind, and soul that can hear the sound of my voice, Father, that you would bless them with eyes to see and ears to hear, Lord. Bless them with the gift of discernment so that they could walk into this world with the guide of all guides, with the power of all power, with the holy and righteous living God dwelling inside of them, Father, with your Holy Spirit, that they might not fall into the snares of the devil, but they may have discernment to see these things for what they truly are and walk in obedience to your word, Father. We pray for each and every soul out there that's confused tonight. Father, I pray that you would give them the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that will keep their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, that we would know that there is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Father, we thank you tonight for this opportunity to study your word together, to bring edification to all those who may have had these questions, and that they would not have their heart hardened, but that you would open their eyes and help them to see things for what they truly are, that they might not give the devil place in their lives. We pray for all of these children that are being deceived in these things, Lord. We know people think this is silly, but this is not a game. Spiritual warfare is real, so we ask that you would help us to put on your full armor so that we would be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Father, we thank you tonight. We love you with all of our heart. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise that you deserve. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, and for your precious Holy Spirit, and for the touch of heaven that you've given us through your Holy Spirit, and for your presence in our life. We pray for all of those who need you tonight, all of those who have asked me for prayer, who have asked others for prayer. Father, we stand in agreement that these things will be done for these people tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, and we say, amen. Guys, I thank you for taking the time to listen to this. If you have people in your life that are not sure about these things, share this message with them and give them a disclaimer. Hey, I'm not just here to call you names or say that you're something bad. I'm in this with you. I struggled with these things, and I'm here to share my testimony with you to help you to see the truth that you might be edified. Guys, if you haven't yet, subscribe to the channel, share this message. I love y'all with all of my heart. I thank you for taking the time to watch this. God bless y'all tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the Lord and the Savior of the world.